Welcome to the FinTech Scaly Show. This podcast is sponsored by Scale Up Consulting, helping FinTech startups accelerate customer acquisition and set up business operations to scale systematically. When you're ready to grow, reach out to us at richard@scaleupconsulting.co. Now, over to the show with Richard Doherty, founder and host.
Hey, what's up? Today on the show, we have a very special episode. So guys, have you ever stopped to think why players such as Y Combinator, Accel Partners, and DCC seem to always, in a way, back the right horse? Well, today on the show, we have an absolute treat. We have three fintech titans that have come over, that are from Ireland, and are going to talk about the Irish ecosystem and how that has been established to rival these big guns. So welcome, Neil Ryan, Senior Advisor to Tech Companies, member of ESMA's SC Working Group, and former Assistant Secretary General at the Department of Finance in Ireland. Michael Concannon, Head of Strategy Development at FinTech and Payments Association of Ireland, and Jack Clark, a FinTech expert at the Enterprise of Ireland. Hi, guys. Great to have you on the show today. Maybe let's kick off the show with Michael. You just giving us a bit of a background as to how the FinTech ecosystem and community was first established in Ireland.
Hi, Richard. Thank you for your introduction. That's the first time I've been described as a titan. But that's great. The creation of an ecosystem, that's probably one of those nebulous things that maybe there's no one thing you can point to, but I'll just point to a few things I think that were factors in the creation of the ecosystem here in Ireland. I suppose legislation from Europe was one of the big factors. We have to admit things like SEPA and open banking, you know, created the opportunity for new firms to enter the big world of financial services. So that sort of started to attract people. I think Irish government strategy actually was quite ahead of the curve. We have a strategy over here called IFS 2020 was the first iteration of it, which was all the way back in 2015, I think. And that, I think, was the government trying to create a sort of an atmosphere that would bring parties together and make sure that Ireland wasn't falling behind developments in financial services, and in fact, you know, would attract firms to come here and help nurture the local firms to get involved in fintech and financial services. And in fact, that strategy led to the bringing together of the FPAI, the association that I'm with, the Fintech and Payments Association of Ireland, where a number of individuals that had started up a payments organization here or a techie association over there, that brought them together under one organization, should call out certain people here, Anastali, KPMG, Colm Lyon of Fire, Morgan Lynch of Sender at the time, Paul Curley, who's involved with a number of firms, and Colin Rafferty from Maples, and Richard Walsh, were people who helped form the FPAI. And that was aimed specifically at helping to bring together an ecosystem, a community, to advance their common interest. And they quickly got up and running, and they started to run events. They started to advocate for the sector. They started to engage with regulators like the central bank. And I think another big development then that happened in that journey was in 2017, when sort of the Banking and Payments Federation of Ireland, which was around for 50 years, that had brought the other banks together, said, you know what, we like what's going on in fintech. We're very interested. We think that's what the future is. But they brought the FPAI under their umbrella, such that that organization that I am now part of is actually representing the interests of the domestic banks, the international banks that are here in Ireland, and the fintech. And I suppose we would see that as a major development in the establishment of the ecosystem here in Ireland.
And just to stay on that for a second, Michael, I mean, you mentioned the government was involved and they were quite forward-looking with regards to legislation. And I was just interested to understand how and why the government wanted to get involved in sort of the fintech ecosystem, where when you look around different parts of Europe, it maybe wasn't the case as it has sort of played out in, from an Irish perspective.
Yeah, it is interesting because I think government, I suppose, strategy in Ireland at a high level, firstly, is to promote, job creation and promote where we don't have sort of natural resources that we can export and get income from. We were very services orientated and export orientated. So government strategy has been to keep ahead of the curve in developments in certain industries, including financial services. So yes, they did. They wanted to position Ireland as being a desirable place for firms to come and set up their business here and export it out across the world. And also then to help domestic firms grow. And fintech, I think, and still to this day, the government sees as an important development in an important sector for us. So yeah, the government got involved early on. And in fact, one Neil Ryan may have been involved in the very early days of sort of helping to draw up that strategy. But other organizations are massively involved in that messaging and that strategy, including Jack and his colleagues in Enterprise Ireland and the IDA, which encourages firms from abroad to come to Ireland. So yes, I think we would have to doff our hat to the government for its positive attitude in helping to develop the fintech ecosystem here in Ireland.
And just to bring Jack yourself into the conversation right now, I mean, obviously there's a bit of a push from the government to move things along from a fintech perspective, but other than the job creation and also getting, getting companies from Ireland to really export abroad, what other motivations were there for, you know, Enterprise Ireland and also the government and other bodies to set up that ecosystem, that's such a fantastic ecosystem in Ireland?
Yeah, well, first of all, hello. Thanks for having me on here. I think if you think about it in abstract, the idea of an ecosystem is something that will sustain itself. And if you go back, the beginning of this ecosystem obviously goes back further than this, but if you go back to the 2010 financial crash, Ireland had a very sort of inward looking economy, very focused on construction and a property bubble, I suppose, that was just sort of contributing to rising prices and rising wealth. Then obviously the house of cards falls down and we had mass unemployment. And so there was a moment of introspection there where you go, we need to change something. We need to become an export-led economy. We can't just rely on this domestic construction and property market. So you start looking around at what tools you have in the armory. And we always have had a really good education system here. Third level education was free up until not so long ago and is relatively affordable compared to other countries. And through the work of the IDA, who have done tremendous things in the past about bringing in some of the large tech companies, the likes of Intel and Dell and Hewlett Packard. And now in these days, there are companies like Facebook and LinkedIn and all these kind of internet native companies are based, their European headquarters are based in Ireland. So you couple the fact that there's a strong tech connection, that there's a good education system, and the fact that we had, I think, something like 40% of global hedge funds are serviced in Ireland. So there was a kind of an expertise, there was the development of the International Financial Services Center. So all these things start coming together, and the crash was really the boon, I suppose, for my own organization, Enterprise Ireland, which is a trade development agency, to say, you know, if we can fund these companies, if we can get these companies up and running, we have the nous, we have the expertise in the country to make or to build companies that will kind of span across borders and across continents. And going back to sort of the abstract idea that an ecosystem sustains itself, we would look at it as a kind of a cradle to grave journey. We're educating people to a really high standard. They're getting amazing work experience in these tech companies now and these large financial services companies that are based in the IFSC. And through Enterprise Ireland and the funding that we give, we're really supporting companies and entrepreneurs to get up off the ground. We feel like we're actually challenging them by saying, you know, if we give you 50,000 euro, so I guess the evidence of the success of the ecosystem, if you look at the top 10 financial services company within the Enterprise Ireland portfolio, it changes quite a lot because a lot of companies end up getting bought out. And, you know, that's obviously the dream for entrepreneurs, but it's a sign of a healthy ecosystem that there is that churn and that there's new kind of green shoots of enterprise rising up. So I think that kind of cradle to grave, for want of a better phrase, approach to the ecosystem is really healthy, and that's what's benefiting us at the moment.
And just saying that for a second, Jack, I mean, when you talk about cradle to grave, what supports are you providing up and coming entrepreneurs, or even maybe entrepreneurs at the later stage of their journey to move through the process?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, Enterprise Ireland has a system of offering feasibility grants to entrepreneurs to go out and just see if your business is viable, you know. And then at every step along the way, they can and often do get involved in funding rounds. So we go in matched. There's an acronym. We love acronyms in our organization. There's an acronym called HPSU, which stands for a high potential startup. And very often we will invest money alongside other investors. I mean, if you look at the data from PitchBook data, Enterprise Ireland is the most active VC fund in 2020. I think we had 451 deals, which puts us ahead of 500 startups, ahead of Y Combinator, ahead of all those other names that you mentioned at the beginning. So we're active, certainly. And in the fintech space, I think in 2019, we made 27 investments, which again was first or second in Europe for deal volume. So we're out there putting money down to really kind of support companies and to challenge companies. And, you know, if I can just give you a quick anecdote, there was a company that was bought out last year where the entrepreneur had unfortunately found themselves in a tricky situation after the financial crash the last time. Enterprise Ireland gave them money to go and check out if his idea for prepaid financial cards would work. It did. It's obviously now a ubiquitous thing, but at the time it was fairly novel and fairly forward looking. And 11 years later, with various different supports, that business was sold for 330 million euro. So there are lots of success stories there. And we just try to encourage entrepreneurs as much as we can, both financially and then in non-financial supports as well through the overseas network with people like myself, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, great example then. Other than the money side of things, so, you know, the investments, the hard cash, that obviously startups need to actually survive. What are the, you know, support? Maybe Neil, I'll ask you this question. What are the support does this ecosystem give to, you know, startups and scale-ups that allow them to hit the, in inverted commas, the jackpot that that Jack's also just mentioned?
Yeah, no, I think, Richard, it's really a combination. Some of it is a combination of what Michael and Jack talked about already. So there's institutional support through the government. There's also institutional support through organizations like Michael's, where, and don't discount what Jack was just talking about, that network effect is very, very strong. You know, when EI supports you, we do. I mean, I got to know a lot of other fintech people through roadshows that EI had organized. So you're traveling around different parts of the world or different parts of the UK with the same people. You get to know them. You start talking about what you're doing. People are very open about talking about the issues that they're facing, as Jack pointed out earlier on. And also through organizations like Michael's, like the FBAI, you do have fora where you can discuss these things. And as Jack mentioned as well, a lot of the people who are in the fintech space have come through the hard ground of the International Financial Services Center, or have spent years abroad and decided to come back to Ireland and did want to become entrepreneurs, and they do find the support mechanisms here. But I think there's one other point that I would sort of reference here, and I don't know if Jack and Michael would agree, which is that just as a country, Ireland is very outward looking in terms of how we, you know, those fund servicing companies that Jack talked about, they're servicing hedge funds or investment manager funds or asset manager funds that are global funds. So we always have a very external perspective as to how we're going to grow. And I think the fact that there's a combination of that network that Jack referenced abroad, that international network that the Irish government fully supports through the IDA and EI, that network at home through FPAI and other fora. And also, you know, there are other supports and there are other mechanisms that help, for example, EI and the IDAs work with a number of university research centers around the country that are pushing the boundaries and cutting edge technologies like AI or machine learning type technologies, text recognition technologies that would be probably cybersecurity is another, that would probably be the next wave of the fintech evolution globally. And that interconnectedness, but external focus, I think, blends very well with the, you know, the expertise that there is in Ireland, because there are people like me that spent years and years in London working in investment banks and or in the US in investment banks, or in Europe or APAC in investment banks or commercial banks. They come back with ideas and they find that there's a mechanism here to harness those ideas, to support them, to nurture them, as Jack said, and then to, as you evolve, to evolve in a pattern that, that makes, it's a well-trodden road, but it makes a lot of sense as well.
And Neil, I was wondering, as you were talking, I was wondering how this outward look in Ireland, how does this actually play out on the international scene? So are there hubs in different locations across the globe where people can connect and network and solutionize and what have you? Or is it, or is it something else?
I think it's, and Jack or Michael may may have a different view, but I think it's a sort of state of mind. Richard, you know, Ireland as a country, especially in financial services, we have a population of 5.5 million people. We're not going to be a steady state market for any company that has large scale up ideas. So this is a good testing ground for a lot of things, as Michael pointed out earlier on. I think that network that there is internationally, organizations like EI and the IDA and the Irish government indeed facilitate that. So through fairs, roadshows, conferences, there's a lot of, I know that the network of ambassadors and councils around the world really, really support the government and EI and IDA's efforts, and they hosting events and embassies globally, attracting in some of the largest organizations that you want to target into those embassies in those locations works very, very well. And I think the third part of it, Richard, is that, you know, a lot of people just have their own networks. I mean, people like me, you know, having worked in London, I know a lot of people in London. I know a lot of people in the industry. There are more formal or informal connections between, say, the City of London and Ireland and the Irish government and the representative bodies here. Michael referenced earlier on the corridor, the FinTech corridor between Dublin and Belfast. I think just as a country, Richard, we're always looking at how we can reach out, how we can use the network, how we can bring people inside, engage with people. And that two-way dialogue helps both the organizations that are trying to grow in terms of what the clients want, but also showcasing what potential there is from Ireland to help those clients achieve the goals that they want to work with as well. And I think there is very much a sense from the Irish fintech scene that we're very open to partnering with people. We're very open to working with other organizations. And once again, that makes us slightly, I think, different or unique. And Jack, you would have seen that from some of the experiences you had with EI as well. And I know from some of the conversations we've had previously. But that sort of idea that people are open, you know, we don't think that we have the solution to everything. We think we might have a solution. If we link it with some other organization internationally, collectively, we can make it better. And that sort of attitude, I think, is what drives a lot of the energy that there is in the Irish fintech scene.
And Jack, just to bring you in, how does that partnering and how does it work? How does it play out from a broadly international point of view? Are you looking at people in Irish companies and Irish people in, just say, New York, in London, and you partner up and bringing them back into Ireland? Or is it very much a one-way push from Dublin or Belfast out to the other side of the pond? It would be interesting
I don't think it's a one-way thing at all. I take Neil's point on board very much. My own organization, my Enterprise Ireland, the agency, we have 44 offices around the world in different countries, right?
Yeah.
And in those offices, there are market advisors who basically go out and forge relationships with the biggest companies in those markets. And if there's an Irish connection, it makes it easier, but it doesn't necessarily, that's not the be all and end all of it. Mm. And you look across the globe, I mean, I heard about a deal between an agriculture, an agri-tech, I suppose you'd call it, the other day, who landed a big deal in Saudi Arabia with one of the large food producers there. And you hear stories like, you know, some of the med tech companies now going over to help out in India. And we're, one thing that we benefit from, I suppose, is that we have, I don't know what it is, but we're good at making relationships. And that kind of business development bit kind of comes very naturally to a lot of people. And so I think we play on that really well. And then companies can sort of leverage that, right? So like, let me bring it back down to something that Neil is working with me on, where in the UK market, we've set up a mentorship program called Scale UK, right? So we're taking early stage fintechs in. They want to be active in the UK market. They realize that the UK really is the primary market for fintechs, for Irish fintechs. They might have done a couple of tests domestically, but the real money is across the pond, so to speak. But you don't know where to go. You don't know who to speak to. You don't have any connections, or you might have a couple of mates who worked somewhere once. What we do is we use the network, and Neil can attest to this, where you're bringing in professionals who are either have an Irish connection, or they're happy to help, or they want to see what the latest technologies that we're investing in are. And they will work with those companies to make sure that their value proposition is tight, that they know who they're targeting in the UK, that they even know where they're going in the UK. You know, like just even to know that, you know, there's a wealth and asset management community in Edinburgh. I'd say you don't know that unless you know it, you know, that kind of a way. And so, yeah, we try and develop the network and develop those relationships all the time through the overseas offices. And really, that's for the service of those companies. And thankfully, it's working and we're growing. I think the plan is to open maybe 3 or 4 new offices. The last one to open was in Cambodia, I believe. And I'm sure as the EU does more trade deals around the world in countries that are far flung, we'll be there to open up an office and to try and figure out, you know, who the movers and shakers are.
Yeah. And Michael, I mean, as the community continuously grows up and scales up, I mean, how are you guys making certain that you're always at the forefront of that curve and that innovation to make certain that Ireland, that the Irish and the Irish fintechs are at the behest of all the companies out there that are looking for obviously really good tech and really good help?
Yeah, I suppose we've kind of formed ourselves into an organization that builds upon the connections that the guys have spoken upon. Mm. But we've a council, firstly, I suppose, that helps set the strategic direction for our organization. But that council is made up of fintechs from banks, both domestic and international, and it's made up of legal and advisory firms that have skill, knowledge, international breadth that they can bring to the party. We have a great relationship also with the Department of Finance here in Ireland on an ongoing basis. We regularly meet then formally with the Central Bank of Ireland, find out from the regulator's point of view what's happening and what their priorities are. We lean into some of the big firms that are members. For instance, IBM is one of our member firms, and they sit on the council. We did an event on quantum computing there recently, so they were able to share the kind of the knowledge that they have. They brought MasterCard along, who spoke about how they see the use of that technology happening. The guys have touched upon the international element as well. As a trade association, we've hooked up with other trade associations in other countries to use those to help connect our respective members or bring our respective networks together. And as Jack has said, if we have a firm in Ireland looking to go to Hong Kong, well, we've actually an MOU with the Hong Kong FinTech Association, and we can help sort of bridge build bridges there, but also to find out from Hong Kong what's the latest things that are going on over there. We also have a number of relationships then with the IDA. We actually work with IDA when it comes to meeting some firms that may be considering coming to Ireland. We will sit in on the call and we'll maybe tell the firm, you know, what's going on at the ground level and help that firm connect if they do come to this country. And of course, we work with Jack and his colleagues in Enterprise Ireland. One of the things actually that's in the pipeline with Jack's colleagues is a fintech showcase where we'll take some of the firms that they have that are beginning to sort of get off the ground and beginning to scale, and we'll try and get them in front of banks or big techs and try and promote them and help them on their cause. So yeah, quite a few things that we have on the go in that area.
I wrote down here and scribbled down here one word, and I think it pretty much sums up what we're talking about. It's interconnection, right? And it seems like you guys have built an ecosystem that's interconnected, not just out in Ireland, but also into all the, you know, major hubs outside in the globe. And that's obviously paying off as you scale up, as you evolve. All right, Michael?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And to build upon what Neil was saying earlier on, I think as a nation, Irish people are kind of gregarious and curious and quite open as a nation. And that's a good combination to have when it comes to establishing relationships and establishing trust between member firms, between jurisdictions, between agencies. And that helps to get things off the ground. We're very keen, though, to promote opportunities for collaboration and partnerships And that's something that we're beginning to see happening in the world of fintech, where a lot of fintechs may have started off thinking they were going to conquer the world and beat up banks. I think sometimes they find that operating in a regulated space isn't that easy. So a lot of them have begun to pivot to, okay, well, how can we help the banks, you know, to do what they need to do? Because there's, you know, we've got some clever technology and some good ideas. So we're keen to foster those kind of discussions in particular, both here domestically and internationally, where it makes sense as well.
And Neil, from a collaboration and partnership point of view, I know you mentioned it earlier, but how does that play out from a fintech point of view, especially when you're starting to potentially collaborate with the big banks or even, you know, maybe just the banks in general, because they are quite difficult companies to understand and also integrate with?
Look, I think from the company perspective, that's always the big challenge. That's where it's great to run a proof of concept in a small situation, but what you really need to do is prove that you can handle scale, and you can, you know, obviously as a company, what you want to do is get as many logos that are recognizable up on your wall as quickly as possible. So once again, going back to the point that you made actually, Richard, that interconnectedness really helps. The mentoring program that Jack mentioned earlier on, Scale 21, is a collective effort to bring different perspectives on the same challenge, which is how do you scale in the UK? And I think what we find is that those introductions that are made, that network builds credibility and trust. And that's certainly in the companies that I've been involved in, Quaternion and Corelytics out of Ireland, that certainly has helped enormously to open doors just to get in, to give you the opportunity to pitch to large banks, insurance companies, asset managers and investment managers, hedge funds. That's the trail that IDA, the Irish government, FPAI, we started those hard yards years and years and years ago. And I think that that's where we want to collectively, I think, make sure that, you know, the next company that comes along, it's incrementally not as hard to do it as the last company. So we're looking to continually improve. I think the other point worth sort of mentioning from a reputational point of view is that going back to that source of skill that there is in Ireland that Jack mentioned earlier on, you know, there is the tech skills, there is the financial skills. One of the things that's also part of it is that, you know, a lot of the people who are in Ireland, and they're not all Irish people, by the way, a lot of the people who are in Ireland running fintech companies have worked in large international organizations, do speak that language, do know how to get their message across to the relevant audience quickly. And, you know, when that's packaged through a roadshow or through a conference that's sponsored, you know, with the other parts of the ecosystem network, it becomes a very, very powerful platform in which to continue to build.
And if I could just pitch in there, Richard, a couple of practical examples of how a network can work to everybody's advantage would be when engaging with regulators, because regulators, you know, like to hear from industry. But what they don't want to hear from is from 100 different companies with 100 different messages. So, you know, credible associations that can bring a coherent engagement to regulators can be a great way to kind of help the ecosystem in general. The other thing, of course, is advocacy. And certainly out of Europe, before legislation gets published, there's often consultation processes where the Commission might invite industry to share thoughts on, you know, what the Commission should be doing, say, in fintech. So it's a more powerful message can be gathered if a trade association can gather different voices with a common message and make that submission. I suppose they're just two practical examples of where the power of an association, if you can harness it correctly, can do good.
Yeah, Michael, I actually think that's a very good point. If you look at the IFF 2020 strategy or IFS 2020 strategy, which, as you mentioned, it was 2015 to 2020, obviously, that brought together buyers, sellers, companies, universities, trade agencies, loads of people had input on that document. And the same, I know, I actually think the first or maybe second time I met Neil was on a discussion group for the next iteration of it, which was Ireland for Finance 25. And it's one of the huge advantages of being a tiny country in the sense that you can get to everybody really quickly. You can get those opinions. And, you know, people are generally quite happy to be invited to speak their mind on this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Whereas it must be so much more difficult if you live in a massive landmass or in a place like, I don't know, say, perhaps Hong Kong, where there's just so many people, there's so many perspectives, just from a plain coordination issue, that would be really difficult to get it together. I think that's one thing that being a tiny country actually where it plays to your advantage.
Yeah, but also, Jack, I mean, you guys are, in a way, you're definitely helping the fintech. The fintechs have a voice at the top table, right? Which they're not always going to have. I mean, definitely, I've seen mumbles, people grumble and moan sometimes because of regulatory things coming down the track, and they don't have a word at even a voice at the table. But you guys are providing that voice, right? Which is very powerful for a scale up or a startup that are going on their journey.
Yeah, I mean, I think companies will often say they'd like a louder voice when it comes to the regulator. And perhaps Neil is the man to talk about that. But yeah, you know, I guess, look, there's more power in the collective, isn't there? So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we just have to keep it going, I suppose.
What's your view on that, Neil?
I think that there's an innate ambition that Ireland has to see this grow. I think, as Michael said earlier on, we were probably a bit earlier about doing it, but the reason that we had to be so collaborative about it was that we actually didn't know what we wanted to do. So therefore, bringing everyone into one room, as Michael and Jack have said, was part of a process that then creates that platform to go forward. There's one anecdote that I would have that I remember. The original Michael and Jack, if you remember, the original minister for the IFS was Simon Harris, and he went out to Hong Kong to speak at what was called the Asian Financial Forum. And, you know, there was a slot that Ireland had. And, you know, once again, there was an opportunity to fly the flag, and EEI organized events around it so that we could introduce Irish companies to various different contacts that they had in Hong Kong and in Asia and APAC in general. But on the plane home, I remember I was speaking to the minister, and we were talking about the fact that Hong Kong had advertised themselves as the, at the time, as the gateway into China. And we were thinking about the fact that maybe Ireland could be the gateway into Europe. And obviously now with Brexit occurring in the last year or so, that's probably accelerated the desire from an Irish perspective to support that and to see the opportunity, frankly. And I think what we wanted to do at the time as policymakers, we wanted to make sure that we had the right platform, and putting those stakes in place at that time was the correct one. Having different views, as Michael has said, was part of that. Allowing those different views to persist, I think, is part of it. But also, I don't think that there's an attitude that I can see that anyone is backing winners here. You know, what we're doing is we're backing companies. We're competitive companies. There's friendly rivalry between several different Irish fintechs who are operating in the same space. So I think there's that sort of, while there might be a collective and a network, there's still that commercial edge to everything that has to go on. And I think there's that reality and that competitiveness that actually reinforces the drive into the network. So on the regulatory side, I mean, everybody wants to have regulation that's perfect, but part of the beauty of the process is that there's all sorts of different voices with different ideas that can gain support and can go on that journey to try to scale up as they try to promote their concept and their product.
And maybe, Michael, you can help me on this. I was wondering, as you've built this ecosystem, and you know, Neil, you sort of referred to it, you mentioned the message, how you guys came up with the right messaging so as to attract not only companies coming back into Ireland, but obviously also make certain that on a global basis, people in the audience knew exactly what the Irish fintech ecosystem could deliver. How did you come up with that message? I mean, what was the process that you went through in order to make certain that you're talking the right talk and those folk were coming into you that were the right folk?
Yeah, I suppose it gets back in many ways to the sort of some of the basic recipes or the basic items that Ireland has in its advantage. It so happens that Ireland has a very big technology scene here in Ireland. So there's a lot of the very big technology firms have substantial operations here in Ireland. As Jack was mentioning earlier on, a lot of the world's major financial organizations also have substantial operations in here. So having those two in what is a relatively small island is a great starting place, because firms looking to Ireland will go, well, if Apple is here and if Facebook is here and Google is here and stuff like that, there must be something right going on over there. So that kind of helps. And similarly with the financial services thing. And I suppose where we got lucky or otherwise.
Through the Irish charm.
Yes. And then fintech is where technology and sort of financial services collide. And it's where I suppose my organization in particular has jumped into that area there to say, right, okay, this is where we can advocate for that and help foment collaboration in that space there. UCC, one of the major universities here in Ireland, published some data there recently. I saw that noted that I think almost 3/4 of fintechs that start up are started by people with a technology background. Mm. But that there does come a point on the scaling curve where they recruit people with a financial services background to really scale. And I suppose, given the background that I mentioned that we have, that's a really good starting place for us here in Ireland. And it's something that we do promote in a big way. Now, of course, the Irish government provides lots of other supports, and the tax rate is a huge thing. We've got a very well-educated workforce. And we promote the fact that if an international firm is setting up here and wants to recruit somebody in the technology space that can head up the operation support for EMEA, well, it so happens there may well be 20 or 30 people with that title here already in Ireland. Yeah. So recruitment suddenly can become an easier thing as well. Yeah. A lot of companies, I must admit, that I've spoken to that have considered Ireland or in the process, do find the collaborative nature that we've discussed earlier on a very attractive feature as well. But they do. I spoke recently to a payments firm that's based in the States that's set up here. And they told me they've recruited 20 people, 19 of them were from outside of Ireland, and they found that easy. They said that Ireland seems to have a good reputation with people as a place to work, so they were able to attract people from abroad. One or two they did domestically. They found dealing with the Central Bank of Ireland, quote, very straightforward. And so they had a positive experience there, and they have plans to expand further in Ireland. So yeah, I guess that we've got a few good things going on that we certainly work to amplify where we get an opportunity to do so.
Great. And listen, guys, I'd also like to ask all of you one particular question. And it's this: obviously, we're talking about ecosystems and how the Irish ecosystem was built out and is going to be built out in the future. But what do you guys think are the main success factors to a healthy ecosystem? And maybe let's start with Jack, your insights on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think from a business perspective, three main words: innovation, innovation, innovation. You have to keep your solutions current. So, you know, again, another kind of Enterprise Ireland little card is we give companies research and development grants all the time, and you have to keep your technology current. Anecdotally, there were a few Irish companies at the very start of the DCC wave, you know, the currency conversion for FX instantaneously across markets. That's great, but it's old news. And so payments and FX has evolved. The same, I would say, in things like reg tech and compliance technology. We've had a first wave of it, and now it's got to evolve, right? So you have to be able to change with the times. And things can become pretty stale pretty quickly if you don't drive that evolution and drive that innovation. So, you know, there are lots of different things in an ecosystem that need to work. But I would say, first and foremost, from my perspective, it's got to be innovation.
Great, great insights there. What about yourself, Michael?
Yeah, it's probably a combination of a lot of the things that we've spoken about there. But
exactly.
But getting government, semi-state agencies, you know, the big banks, the big techs, sort of pointing in the same direction is a good thing. And I think that in Ireland, that, as I said, that natural entrepreneurial spirit allied to a very open and receptive sort of country attitude, I think makes for a good ecosystem. Because, you know, we're all interested. Like, Ireland has known some bad times as well, but we've gone through phases of high unemployment. You know, so I think we know both sides of the coin. So I think that in 2021, you know, Ireland is very focused on the future and continuing to grow our native industries, attracting foreign industries. I think we're all very committed and very aware of that sort of ideal. And I think that makes, obviously, then for a good, open, healthy, engaged ecosystem. And I can certainly say, as head of the FPAI, I don't find resistance to people joining and engaging with the network to come to events, to speak at events, to share their knowledge and their experience. So, and it's something that we tap into. So yeah, that's they're good basic building blocks to creating a good ecosystem.
And Neil, just to bring you into the conversation, what can you add to the points that both Jack and Michael have gone through?
Well, I think on the innovation side, Jack is exactly correct. On the network and alignment point that Michael mentioned, that's spot on as well. I think the other thing, looking at it from the company point of view, if I can put that perspective on it, I guess, Richard, continuing ambition, continuing horizon scanning of what's changing. So that there were these areas that I worked on. I could see that Irish companies got into RegTech quite early. I can see the next wave coming, particularly around the cyber side of things and the resiliency side of things. Those two elements are really going to be important going forward, and whether they're going to create their own little sub-tech area, I'm not 100% sure. But the fact that there's continuing evolution, there's that continuing ambition, there is that possibility of dialogue with other people and through the mentorship programs and the networks that we've discussed already. But the fact that there's continual change, that there's continual focus on what's coming next, how do we position for that? You know, how do we integrate what we're doing into the next challenge that we have? And that drive for ambition, I think, is something that makes us slightly different and is probably quite innate. But as Michael also said, you know, what we're seeing is that growth, that scaling, that ambition, it's been fueled by all of the people that have built in the various different parts of the fintech scene in Ireland, all of the people that have become involved and really using those skills and expertise and perspectives, aligning it with the ambition is really where I can see things moving forward.
And Neil, just on that, I mean, what advice would you give to some of our listeners that are scaling up right now and in need of that sort of support and help to propel them forward?
You know, in my experience, I think the biggest barrier that there is in terms of scaling is really moving beyond proof of concepts to product platform or a service platform that you can deliver at scale. That really is the biggest problem that I see. I think it's linked to the mindset, Richard. Mm. And Michael was spot on with that comment that he made earlier on. A lot of technology companies are built by technologists. Technologists have certain sets of skills and they're always interested in interesting things. And to, as you evolve from a company with an idea, to build an actual scalable product is the real challenge, I think, that fintechs globally face, because moving beyond a good idea to something that you can deliver at scale is really the problem. And I think there are two elements to it. Firstly, it's all about leadership. Mm. In many cases, I've seen situations where, not just in Ireland, but internationally, the first person with the good idea is not the person who's actually there to scale the company and shouldn't be the person. And I think having that maturity and having that approach is something important to recognize. Mm. The second thing is the ladder. The scaling ladder, and as Jack mentioned earlier on, particularly from Ireland, there are mechanisms to help you move from friends and family and angel money through Series A, B and C, if that's where you're going. So there is that mechanism there if you want to do it. And then thirdly, but most importantly, it's about the people, getting that mix right, getting that, bringing the right people in at the right time, having the courage of your convictions, not waiting until you've proven what you're doing to actually build that platform so that you can scale it through what you need to do. And I think that all gets back to the leader, whoever is the leader or the founder or co-founder of the organization, moving beyond thinking they're the center of it to actually building a scalable product that sustains a business that you can go from small to international to global as quickly as you can.
Yeah, I mean, some sage advice there, Neil. And listen, as we get into the final furlong of the show, Michael, I'd like to ask you, what stuff are you guys doing right now? What maybe factors are you considering as you continuously look at ways to pump up the ecosystem, the Irish ecosystem, make certain that it's always at the forefront of not only the Irish team, but also international markets?
Yeah, I suppose we're only reviewing our strategy at the moment and just seeing where we need to kind of focus. Identify the fact that we have such a diverse membership, and in particular on our council, you know, who we look to for guidance. We make sure we listen to what's going on out there. But just some areas that we're kind of focusing on at the moment. and would include trying to get fintechs in front of banks. And we're working on our thing called the Fintech Showcase Series. So we are trying to get some fintechs with the use case, maybe, to show what it is that they're doing, you know, how they see developments at an industry level going in front of banks. And hopefully that will lead to further discussions. In fact, we did one a few months ago where we had a couple of firms in the mortgage space helping to digitize the journey from application to the granting of a loan. And they've done some work in there, and that we got them from some banks, and that has led to a collaborative piece in the e-conveyancing area, which was great. Another example where we brought people together was in the Vulnerable Customers Forum, where banks have been doing some work in this area for a while, but we brought together some banks, some government agencies, and some fintechs together. And we discussed the subject and what the extent of the problem was and how fintechs could maybe help. And some discussions have started off there between fintechs and some of the agencies where practical moves may be made to help those that are underserved or vulnerable when it comes to financial. We see sustainable finance as being a huge and developing area, maybe one that the banks are ahead of the fintechs, because I think the banks have legislative kind of priorities that they need to respond to. But we have been trying to encourage fintechs to jump in there where there could be opportunity, especially when it comes to data, because banks, to meet their obligations, need more data.
Yeah.
And there are fintechs and opportunities that they can do there. We continue to work with the government here through the latest iteration of IFS 2020, which is now called 2025. And the government has asked us to kind of help them look down the tracks to see what changes are happening in technology and maybe help the government to place its bets when it comes to government strategy in that area. So we've delved back into industry to ask, hey guys, come together and help us advise governments to see what they need to do when it comes to new technologies, in particular like AI and blockchain and all that.
Oh, exciting stuff. Yeah, exciting stuff. And what about yourself, Jack, and the Enterprise Ireland folks? What's your plan going forward? What elements are you looking at to make certain, again, you're at the forefront of the fintech industry?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. There's the under the microscope view of where I sit, which is in the UK market. And, you know, we want to make sure that there is really good trade still going on between Ireland and the UK, that we're growing the number of deals that happen. So 2018, there was 11% growth in the fintech portfolio, but trade between the UK and Ireland. 2019, that was 17%. We'll see what 2020 throws back at us. But, you know, that's really the priority at the moment, is making sure that those connections are strong and that those conversations are going on. I think more broadly, there are a couple of different themes that are important to us. I think sustainability and the green agenda is really, really important. It's coming up in a lot more conversations. We're trying to figure out ways where we can encourage entrepreneurship in that vein, or encourage companies to think about that in their research and development. And that innovation piece that I mentioned before, I think that's really, really important for us. And the old mantra from Enterprise Ireland is expand the reach and build scale, you know, and we want to get Irish companies front and center in as many different countries as we possibly can. And we'll keep doing that through building relationships and using the overseas network. So that's really the focus for us from an international perspective.
Nice. And Neil, as we sort of come to the final few minutes of the show, are there any final thoughts from yourself, maybe to those Irish entrepreneurs or any of our listeners right now, as they sort of move through their journey? What do you think is the most valuable thing that they can take away from this discussion today that will help them as they scale up?
I think three things, Richard. Firstly, if there are fintechs looking for a location in Europe, Ireland is open. And Jack, I'm sure, would be more than happy to talk to them about those opportunities. I think once they get here, or once they set up their offices, as Michael said, link into the network like FPAI and make sure that you're using that network effectively. But, I think with the business hat on, Richard, you know, make sure that you've thought through going from a solution to a product. The challenge, whether you're in Seattle, you're in San Francisco, you're in New York, you're in Mumbai, you're in Hong Kong, you're in Sydney, you're in Singapore, the challenge is the same challenge. I mean, it's a different location, but the same challenge. So I think the attraction of fintech is very strong for a lot of people, but I think when you're setting the company up, you really have to have a very solid plan in place, and then you can ask for help. I think looking for somebody else to draw your plan up for you is not the way to do it.
Yeah, I mean, completely agree with you there, and some sage advice. And listen, gentlemen, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show today, and you've really taught me a few things, actually. Some really great stuff that you guys are doing out in Ireland to support and make certain that your ecosystem is flourishing and continues to flourish. So thanks so much for coming on the show, and it's been an absolute blast.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Very enjoyable.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay, so that's it for today, and we'll see you next week.